point.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Stream the best of British TV on BritBox. Watch captivating dramas and gripping mysteries, whether it's entire series of massive hits like Sherlock and Vera, new seasons of originals like The Responder, starring international Emmy winner Martin Freeman, or an extraordinary selection of beloved treasures featuring Idris Elba, Jodie Comer, Matthew McFadyen, Benedict Cumberbatch, and more. Only on BritBox. Watch with a free trial at BritBox.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News, Hurricane Milton. I'm Michelle Franzen. At least 10 people have died in Florida from tornadoes triggered by Hurricane Milton yesterday on Florida's East Coast. Milton now a post-tropical cyclone churning in the Atlantic. The president and also President Biden also speaking with Florida's governor at a briefing. He says the federal government will help people recover and rebuild, and FEMA is on the ground.
FEMA is going to open disaster recovery centers all across the impacted communities right away. So there's one stop the residents can go to learn about the support they might need. And that will be advertised where those places are.
The president also voicing frustration, pushing back on a question about the spread of misinformation about FEMA and federal aid. He says amplified by former President Trump.
Former President Trump, get a life, man. Help these people.
Former President Trump campaigning in Detroit says they're sending love to the people impacted by Milton. This is ABC News. RFK widow Ethel Kennedy has died at 96. She was hospitalized following a stroke last week. ABC News Chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl looks back on her life.
Ethel Kennedy's life was marked by a tireless dedication to service, resilience, and tragedy. She was part of America's most powerful political dynasty. Ethel forged a relentless path on her own as a human rights advocate, fighting against poverty with leaders like Coretta Scott King, and championing the work of those standing up for human rights around the world. She was born Ethel Skakel in 1928 in Chicago, Illinois, the daughter of a former railroad clerk who gained his fortune building his own company.
30 Democratic lawmakers sending a letter urging Boeing and the International Association of Machinists to resume talks in the four-week-old strike. Boeing withdrew its offer of a 30% pay increase over 4 years. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter, so help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule.
It's time to shift seasons in style at Macy's Fab Fall Sale. Save on all the things you can't wait to wear, like shoe and boot specials 30 to 40% off, and coats for your crew 30 to 60% off. Plus, elevate your tabletop with hosting essentials from Gottinger, The Cellar, Thirsty Stone, and more 50% off. Even better, take an extra 20% off with your coupon or Macy's card. Going on now at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears a challenge to the governor's creative use of the partial veto. Evers deleted digits to extend a school funding increase by 400 years. His attorney, Colin Roth, argued previous rulings set the table for that.
That is a natural result of this court's case law from over 100 years that has expansively defined the constitutional partial veto power.
Conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley.
I don't buy that, because what has happened is the governor is becoming the most powerful person in this state, arguably, to just make the law whatever he declares.
Court, which has a 4-3 liberal majority, is expected to take some time before issuing a ruling. The State Building Commission approves more than $160 million in projects.
Included in the total is $50 million for 50 projects through a new non-state grant program, which was created in the 2023-25 biennial budget. Those grants will fund projects that bolster critical infrastructure and key services in sectors like health and wellness, economic and workforce development, arts and culture, and public services. More than 250 applications were submitted to the Wisconsin Department of Administration. Shaw Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Court action yesterday and today for the two Lincoln Hills inmates accused of reckless homicide and the death of correctional officer Corey Prue.
A preliminary hearing was held for Javarius Hurd on Wednesday, where both sides questioned witnesses and viewed footage from the late June confrontation at the youth prison. Hurd is accused of throwing a cup of soap at another staffer, then running off. Prue gave chase and tried to restrain him, but was knocked over and hit his head on a hard surface. Ryan Nyblom is accused of providing that soap to Hurd. He's due to enter a plea for two counts later today. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A gorgeous day today under mostly sunny skies with unseasonable highs climbing to the upper 70s. Got a south wind at about 5 to 10 miles per hour shoving us there. And as clouds increase tonight, low temperatures stay mild, hovering near 60. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. Currently, it's 65.
Trade in the grain markets was limited by anticipation of tomorrow's USDA crop production and supply and demand reports, but the grains were clearly on the defensive even as front month crude climbed back on top of $75. Good demand influenced the livestock markets again today. Live cattle feeder cattle, lean hogs, and even milk prices were all higher.
Live from the pregame to the countdown to the weekend via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm a handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis. Holy smokes. People need to time their sending of messages a little better sometimes. Oliver just sent me a note that, makes me laugh out loud.
Okay.
We'll see what he's got to say here at the end of this segment when we get him in here. Oliver Salt, Blue Line Features, when we get him in here and ask him about how the market's traded today. Dave, sorry about that. That was kind
you're
of
right?
a... Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. But wait until you see this picture of Oliver that he sent.
Oh, no.
Attaboy, Oliver. Attaboy. That is a Cyclone fan right there. That's what I see. That's what I see. Everything good? How's things down there?
I think everything's all right. We did make it up to 83. I think we can do 84. We can get there.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yep. I love the fact that it sounds like you're tailgating the pregame.
Absolutely, we are. It's the pregame to the countdown to the weekend.
Right.
And,
it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's all good.
Very
big game
stuff.
Tonight, dude.
I know.
Big game.
I know. Yeah. I'm trying not to think about it.
You're feeling it. I can tell. It makes me so happy. Makes me so happy that you're a baseball fan now. It's awesome.
I don't know if I like baseball at all, but I do like the Royals.
Oh, my gosh. Brian Doherty is going to be in here in the next segment. We've got a lot of ground that we're going to cover with Brian, including some strategies. Is there anything that we need to do kind of in this last little bit before we get to the USDA crop production supply and demand reports. We'll talk about that with Brian. And as I said, we'll get Oliver in here in just a moment. Let's get to it. What do you got?
You bet. Well, Chip, December soft red winter wheat futures closed higher for a fourth consecutive session today. And they all they have done is reclaim last Friday's price decline. The close back above $6 in front month SRW does open the door to a test of resistance at last week's double top high at 617 and a quarter. Export sales of wheat weekended October 3 totaled nearly 434,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Europe's wheat crop is expected to total about 114.4 million metric tons, according to Strategy Grains. Chip, that's down 10% from a year ago and the smallest crop in 12 years.
Yeah.
December HRW wheat futures 2¼ cents higher at 611. December SRW wheat up 4¾, 603¾ at last report. December spring wheat up 0.75 cents at 649 and yet remains unsettled, Chip.
Yes, yeah, we're still waiting for that to settle. Those supplies come out of Europe, I think, are going to be a something that we're going to have to factor in at some point. I mean, 10% down from year ago, smallest crop in 12 years, yeah. That's at least limiting selling interest.
Export sales of corn totaled 1.22 million metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Unknown destinations, Mexico, Colombia, and Japan topped the list of corn buyers. Strategy Grain estimates the European Union corn crop at 58.1 million metric tons, up slightly from its previous estimate, but that would be down 7.8% from year ago. December corn futures opened steady and rallied to spike resistance at yesterday's high before prices reversed to close below yesterday's low. That completed the second downside reversal in December corn this week. December corn futures 2½ cents lower, 418½. March corn down 1¾ cents to 436¼. July corn futures closed at 451. That's down 2¼ cents.
Yeah, not a lot of movement today. I think we'll talk to Brian about it, but there's got to be some anticipation of the crop production reports and taking some trade, some interest out of the trade.
Soybean export sales in the weekend of October 3 totaled 1.26 million metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. China accounted for more than 580,000 tons of the bean sales with unknown destinations. The Netherlands, Mexico, and Vietnam also on the list of buyers. The rainy season has arrived in Brazil. Rains are expected in the biggest soybean production areas of Brazil over the next 10 days, and that should allow for timely bean plantings. November soybean futures posted a second consecutive inside trading day, this one with a mid-range open and a low-range close. November beans 5½ cents lower today, 1014¾. January beans down 5½ to 1031½. March beans closed at 1046½. That's down a nickel today.
Spread unwinding in the products today. Mm-hmm. December meal down 5.10. December soybean oil up 70 points following the crude oil trade.
Cotton export sales weekended October 3 totaled 89,600 running bales, down 12% from the four-week average. Vietnam, Mexico, Pakistan, Turkey, and Nicaragua all on the list of buyers. December cotton today, 39 points higher, but 74.75. On your livestock's beef export sales, 13,700 metric tons, but boxed beef trade this morning saw higher prices on good volume to support the cattle complex. These fats opened lower, traded through support at yesterday's low, and then recovered to close above resistance at yesterday's high. December fat cattle, $1.05 higher, 188.27½. November feeders 127½ higher at 249.95. Pork export sales 50,600 metric tons, a 56% increase from the 4-week average. D's hogs $1.37½ higher today, 76.95. Chip.
All right, thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
Doing well, Chip. How about yourself?
Doing real good, man. Nice move that we've got going in the cattle trade again.
Holy smokes. Yeah, just when you think it's running out of gas,
yeah,
it finds its sea legs and keeps going higher. This morning we saw a little bit of carryover weakness from yesterday's trade, and then this morning we're hearing rumors of 187 bids down in Texas being passed on, and the fire got reignited. You saw some fund participation stepping back in. Here we are at a, you know, a new high for the move, and right back at those highs from before the big breakdown in August. So it'd be interesting to see if it keeps going. you know, maybe there's a little bit more juice to the upside. Looking at December 190, that's going to be, I think, psychologically and technically and fundamentally significant. And there's still some headwinds out there, I think, in terms of, you know, potential volatility with an election within, just a month now, which is wild to think about. They could potentially, you know, jockey some things around a little bit.
Yep. Gotcha. Reports from USDA tomorrow taking some of the interest out of the corn and soybean trade.
Yeah, a little bit. We've kind of had a little bit of a mixed bag. Corn seems about as neutral as you can get, almost like we found somewhat of a near-term equilibrium. Beans look and feel still a little bit on the bear side, and wheat looks friendly. So I think there's something for everyone out there. But again, you know, once we get past tomorrow's report, I think a lot of the attention is going to shift towards South American weather, obviously. And then, you know, the election, again, that's something that was talked about a long time, but it seemed like it's been pushed on the back burner recently, and we've seen some polls trending in a certain direction recently. So
yeah, that's right. Climb on aboard there, Oliver, for the ride to Morganstown. Let's go, man.
Let's go. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Cyclones this weekend against West Virginia. Good stuff, Oliver. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
All right, Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Brian Doherty, Total Farm Marketing, up next.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisisretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisisretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday afternoon. All right. Brian Doherty, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, is our guest analyst today. Brian, it's great to talk to you again. How are you, man?
Chip, thank you. I am
great, and it is good to talk to you again as well. A lot of stuff going on. I just wrote this down on break. You know, if you're kind of trying to figure it out, it's because we've got movement in the dollar. We're talking about Russia. We're talking about hurricanes, talking about wars and crude oil, elections, South American weather, U.S. drought conditions. There's a lot out there right now to unpack. Things are moving.
Yep. Yeah. And harvest reports. What are you hearing from your clients?
A good question. I'm hearing about as expected in corn. So I'm hearing some really, really good numbers. Then I'm hearing some challenged, but in general, it's what I'm not hearing. I'm not hearing our corn customers say, oh boy, this is really a train wreck, or this is worse than we expected, or man, this is a lot better than we expected. Most people are pretty pleased with their results. Some really hellacious numbers out there in areas. Uh-huh. Others a little bit more challenged. I would say beans, though, the impact, the general impact to drier weather in August and September might have nipped at that crop a little bit. And I think that, you know, it's not unusual to hear farmers say, well, it's about 5 or 10% less than I expected.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You go back to the middle of August, well, even the end of August, and the what we saw for potential on that bean crop was just unbelievable. I mean, it was enormous. We've lost a fair amount of that. Now, from then until now, we rallied beans more than a buck, like $1.15. We've sat back from the highs, but does that account for it, Brian?
Yeah, well, it accounts for a couple of things. One, we got double bottom the chart. We start to move things up. I think you had two things going there. We had dry weather in the U.S., and then you had dry weather manifesting itself, in particular in central Brazil. And that forecast has begun to change here the last several days in the market, as I think followed that. So trying to unpack this or analyze this, the USDA 53 bushels is the average estimate for tomorrow, and in September is 53.2. They left that unchanged. There were, and I'm gonna use your words there, this massive potential. There were a fair number of people, I think, who really thought the number could be 54 or 55. So we've kind of maybe brought it back down to 53 in the U.S. I wouldn't be surprised if there's no change tomorrow. Attention focuses on the Brazilian crop in particular. The rains are delayed, and there's more in the forecast. But you're kind of getting to that critical zone. It feels almost to me like Brazil is where it was 3 years ago, or like the U.S. was in 2012. Kind of get to that mid-June, lots of potential. All of a sudden, the rains didn't materialize in the U.S. Yeah. We'll see what happens down there. But I would suspect they will, but they're already off to a less than ideal start.
Boy, the next 30 days on that Brazilian crop, it's going to – like you said, either the rains are going to develop or they're going to have a problem. It's one of the two. And it means so much to the direction of this bean market, well, and the corn market going forward, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and that's the whole problem. If you're a farmer and you're listening, you're in your combine, you're driving, it's like, well, what do I do with that information? I mean, this isn't rocket science. You're telling me, right? It's going to rain or not rain. So what can I do with it? What do I do with it? And I think you really need to kind of – I mentioned all those variables because there's a lot of things going on, and the market could focus on any one of those in any day. I didn't even mention that the amount of contracts that the managed money